You have to be able to use your intuition and listen to the music that can do things for you, past, present, and future, all the way to the end of truth, into the world of myth. And then you got it made because you stepped into the realm of the impossibilities. And what this planet needs at this point is for something impossible to have to show a better way.
You talked about Egypt a little bit earlier. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about Egypt and if you found the Ankh to life over there.
Oh, yeah. Egypt was quite a difficulty, you know. Sometimes combating, mostly some musicians were saying the music's too far for people. So one day I really got tired of that. So I said, well, they said Christ went to Egypt to survive. I'm going to. So I went over to Egypt, and I was in one of the Scandinavian countries. Well, I think it was in Copenhagen, that's the city I was in, Denmark. And they had this round trip there for $116 to Egypt, with a hotel for 2 weeks free. You know I couldn't resist that. And we had about an hour to make the plane. We had all our equipment and everything. I took the equipment and I sent by truck to over into one of the storage houses in Holland, and we caught that plane and we went on to Egypt. And then I found out the travel agency put me in the Mena house, which is about a half a block from the pyramid, so I could sit right on the balcony and look at the pyramid. Then I was facing the pyramid road, and I could go right around and walk on the road, keep resting on down about two blocks of the Sphinx. I had a wonderful time, but while I was there, I went in the pyramid up in the King's Chamber, and I said, now this pyramid was made for the name Ra, and it hadn't been said in here in thousands of years, so let's say it nine times and see what happened. So we said Ra nine times, and all the lights went out in the pyramid. So I had a psychic experience that. The lights went out, and
that's a true story?
Yeah, we had to stand still because, you see, in order to get up to the King's Chamber, we had to go up a ramp. And you really, it's about 12 stories down if you made a mistake. So we were afraid to move, you know. But it happened we had a guide with us, so he lit up on a little counter that looked like a match in the darkness of the pyramid. And we came on down the ramp backwards. Then he wanted me to go into the Queen's Chamber. But you have to practically almost get on your knees to go in there because you got to go through this little, this tunnel. And I said, well, some other time. But he grabbed my hand, he said, no, now. So he had to count. So I went in the Queen's Chamber, then the lights came on.
Thank you. In a sense, it's for the general public, but it's better for than to be in the hands of someone who really appreciates it and is going to play it because it has a message in it. And there aren't too many of them. So if anybody got the albums and played it, it might take them maybe 6 years or 10 years to hear what's happening on the album. Because so much happening, it can easily get by. And then you got to have a particular box to play it on. And just playing it on any phonograph won't do it because some of them are made like by RCA and they used the best equipment. And then when they made it, and some of the earlier, when they made it only to play on the best equipment. But because they're works of art, I might say, that it's really put out, I would say, by a black company, and black companies don't, they don't have the distribution that other people have.
I played a low profile, you know. The only reason I'm coming out of hiding that because it looked like the planet is falling apart. So I think it might be falling apart because a lot of people have had quite a bit to offer the planet and who felt that, well, they weren't going to be recognized. They didn't contribute, you know? And in fact, it is true that everyone who had something different to offer has had a hard time in all countries in the world. Well, I don't think it's happened in Europe now because they're really trying to get something different. But really, the truth is, the only thing that's different is jazz. America, unfortunately, a lot of master musicians to starve to death or go into other fields, and they didn't realize the worth, I suppose, of this spontaneous culture. Very important, I would say, as far as I'm concerned, the only gift God ever gave to the world is jazz. Although some people might think other things, it's creativity at its utmost, and I would say, that is an indication that a creator is involved when musicians stand up and create. I mean, the master jazz musician could do that. Now, a lot of people could play jazz, but they couldn't create. But America had the creators. And in Europe, they were asking me about that. And I said, well, it just happened that in the black race in America, some masters were sent to them. And that's renamed to jazz because of the masters. Not because they were, I would say, more talented in other nations, but they had masters, and these masters have never been, really been given credit because they stayed in the background, they're low profile, but they unselfishly contributed money and acted like godfathers over musicians in the early days. I saw them do it, and they never been mentioned in any jazz books because they didn't know about them, you know, but I did. As a teenager, I was rehearsing late at night with some of my schoolmates, and this godfather, I don't know what his name was, he's a barber. And he'd be showing them principles of jazz. And that happened in a lot of other states too in America. My music is about changing things. I never was satisfied with the planet. From a child, I always was complaining about the planet, even though my people would tell me I didn't have anything to worry about. Why was I complaining? I just complained because although I was doing all right, I saw some more people who weren't. And I saw some little children who were crippled. Grown people too. I saw people in all kind of terrible conditions. I never did understand that. And I never did feel that it was necessary or that it had to be. I never could get that out of my mind. And I had this feeling that there's something better for humanity. It's just a matter they just haven't reached for it yet. It's a language of the gods, and so
You can speak to the gods quicker through music than you can through words. Because, you see, music is really the only pure language you have. And it's the kind of language that people can understand. In other words, you can make a mistake in grammar or something like that and you can get by, in a sense, the average person. But if you make one wrong note in music, anywhere on this planet, people know it. Even though they may not have heard the song, they know when the rhythm is not right, they know when the melody is not right, they know when the harmony is not right. So the music has to be pure. The fact in America, it reached a point of distortion to it's affecting teenagers to kill their parents, do all kind of things, mad things. But it's the music that's doing it, you see. I got a letter from, I wish I had it with me, to read from an English teenager. He was saying when we played in England last time, that the music was warm, was kind, it had friendship in it, love in it. It was back in the past when people were more human, when they were a different kind of person. And he was very, very glad to hear that kind of music. So I think from that letter, I can see that teenagers really want something better than what they're getting. They don't want the harsh music anymore, but adults think they do. They don't give them a chance to hear anything else, you know? But they should. And I'm sure they would make up their, they would choose something nice and soothing for their nerves.
Thank you.